from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, and Jay Binkley with you today. Cody's back on Monday. We'll be in St. Joe for Chiefs training camp. Bink, what's up, man? Good to have you in the show. I haven't hosted with you in a couple weeks, I feel like.
What's going on, Gold? I missed when you were the intern. You remember that Saturday show that you did with like Lukowski or something?
I do.
And I got you guys all loaded at Uncle D's.
I do. I've told the story multiple times. I'm sure Ryan always appreciates
really
when I bring
struggling.
It up. The next morning, I've told the story about that where he blamed it on the nachos. I think it was alcohol.
I think it was.
The next morning, let's just say he didn't know what he had on his like shorts and legs as we were up in the media tent. And it was some throw up. So that was an interesting day.
It was a newbie thing.
Drew, you've heard this.
When you get there, it's drink.
Sorry, Ryan. I apologize. No, but Bink asked about it.
I get all the new guys drunk. We go up there and have some beer towers.
Yeah, Ryan got after it.
Right
of
passage.
He goes a little sick the next morning.
Fescopalooza. I think you were at that.
I was.
Fescopalooza.
Yeah. We had Fescopalooza back in like 2013, 12, something like that.
Those were the first days of St. Joe training camp.
Ian Rappaport came up as this newbie. He was with Kent Babb drinking some brew. You know, back in the day where Babb was here and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ian Rappaport, this new guy at NFL Network, you know, that was trying to cut his teeth in at the good old days of Uncle. That's why I looked at that banner. We have this big 610 Sports Radio banner behind me.
Fink said he wants it, Drew. He said when we switch to 96.5 The Fan next Thursday morning, Bink wants to know what's happened to the banner. I said, I thought it might go in the Cody Engel garage sale. I don't know.
That would be a garage sale. Good garage sale. I have the 96.5 hat, but all the beer that's been spilled on this thing and all the cigarette smoke.
Of course,
smoke.
That's what you think of immediately. Is
all the cigarette smoke from Uncle D's. This thing had to be washed every time we came back from camp.
Now that you're sitting in Cody's chair, do you like or dislike the logo? Because Cody vehemently dislikes the logo.
I actually like the logo, the one with the football on it. I think that's cool.
No, the new logo is 1,000 times better.
The new logo is better. But
it's sleeker.
This is still iconic, man. This is still, you know, this is the throwback. You know, 610 Sports.
You're getting all sentimental on us here.
I'm not getting sentimental. I'm just saying, you know, we all went to work for 610 Sports Radio back in the day. The 96.5 is going to be great. I can't wait. But I'm just saying, I like nostalgia, you know. It's like the Houston Oilers, you know, the old Blues, you know, Tennessee Titans will pull them out once in a while. I think that's cool. The University of Houston does it. I mean, you just embrace your past. The Chiefs have that Dallas Texans helmet on a couple years ago just to – the
so
relic from the past.
Like he wants a throwback day already. He's already pre-scheduling a future, you know, 10 years from now, 610 throwback day.
You want the logo to switch to like a yellow and red and blue combination instead of just the red and black.
Well, you remember a few years ago we did the 610 day or whatever, and we did the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some of the older personalities come back and everything like that. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun today. We got Bink filling in. Club 610 could be the final Club 610. Name discussions are underway. Now that we're going to 96.5 The Fan, could it be Club 965? Could it be The Buzz? We don't know. We don't know what the 1 o'clock hour on Friday is going to be called in the future, but today is still Club 610. We've got Rob Collins of Fox 4 going to join us in studio. I picked up some beer. Hopefully it's good enough for you, Bink. I know you got a picky palate when it comes to beer. I did pick up some. I bought some last night. No joke. Went out to the liquor store, bought some last night, knowing that we were going to do this, and then I left it at home. And so then I got in the studio today, and I had to go out to another liquor store at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Friday to go and get some more beer for us.
How'd that feel going at 9 o'clock on a Friday to get some
not
beer?
Not great. Man? Not great. And then
celebrating early, man.
And then the couple with that, I also got something for you on the drive in today. And so we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. But there was just
some
a weird.
Blue
it was. It was not Blue Chew.
That's what the text line said. That's what the
for an awkward show.
I was joking.
Very awkward show. There's a reason why the cameras aren't on today so far. That's why. No, the cameras aren't. We'll get the cameras set up. There's not. Frankly, you know what? Peel back the curtain. Cody took the password, and we don't have the password. Do you want to know the truth? That's what happened. We don't have the PIN code. Okay.
Yeah, I'll work. I believe technology and stuff.
Cody said it blew off at camp.
Okay. Say that in my ear one more time, Drew, and then I'll type it in. But all right. So anyway, I do want to get into something, though, before we get to the preseason game tomorrow. Bink, it's fun anytime you can dream about a star player ending up on your team, right? We all agree. Like, that's what's fun about sports and fans, like dreaming that one of the best players. We already have Patrick Mahomes here in Kansas City. We already have Bobby Wood Jr. on the Royals. So we have two of the best players, but adding to your team. And so with the drama and mess that is going on down in Dallas, CD Lamb's unhappy. Jerry Jones yesterday said he has no urgency to get a deal done with CD Lamb. Remember, he still needs to get a deal done with Micah Parsons, still needs to get a deal done with Dak, and he's not going to get a deal done with either of them, it seems like, at this point. And so CD Lamb just tweeted LOL in response to Jerry Jones saying there's no urgency to sign CD Lamb. Because think if you're CD Lamb, where you're at. So it's a mess in Dallas, okay? But that has prompted people in Kansas City, and I'm sure in other markets, play, hey, what if?
Yeah.
And some of it was fueled because everybody looks at Twitter profile changes. You know, I don't know who's checking these nonstop to see if someone changes it. But Hollywood Brown has the Twitter profile or cover photo, I guess it would be, with him when they were together at Alabama.
At Oklahoma.
Or Oklahoma, sorry. Not Oklahoma, as teammates. And so the speculation increased. And then I saw there's a trade scenario out there from FanDuel as well. None of this is happening, right? And the scenario on a trade, no chance this is a trade I would make if I'm the Chiefs. So this was the scenario that was presented. One, can we agree that it's not happening anyway, but the scenario they presented was CeeDee Lamb to the Chiefs. The Chiefs trade away Rashee Rice and a first-round pick in 2025 and a first-round pick in 2026. And it says, who says no? The Chiefs say no on this, right? CeeDee Lamb would need a new contract to make him like the highest paid wide receiver in football. Plus, I'm giving away a team controlled cheap wide receiver in Rashee Rice, and I'm giving away two first round picks when I have a GM that's drafting as good as anybody in football right now. Absolutely not. This is just a fun social media thing.
Yeah, where you could take a receiver and have 5 years of control with that player. I'll remind people, Isaiah Pacheco, do you know Isaiah Pacheco right now is making Alex Gould for a number one running back? On average, Isaiah Pacheco is making $973,000 a year, and they got him for two more years, right? That's the magic of the draft. That is getting a player to play with you, and you're not breaking the bank for it. Hollywood Brown's in that one-year prove-it contract. Dallas, I would think, 2 years ago, Kansas City, when the draft was in Kansas City, they tried to make a move down with Dallas. Dallas wasn't receptive to it. Dallas probably remembers the Parker Anger for Charvarius Ward trade, which the Chiefs totally fleeced the Dallas Cowboys, because Charvarius Ward turned out to be a good player. Guy that started for the Chiefs, got a big contract with the 49ers, and Parker Anger's probably working for Geico now. I mean, it's just a great trade for the Kansas City Chiefs, but you don't want to give up that player control, but I'm not sure Dallas would do it. But here's the other thing with Dallas. What message does that send his fan base or season ticket holders? Because CeeDee Lamb is a freaking stud. CeeDee Lamb was targeted last year 181 times. Receptions last year, CeeDee Lamb, this is how it's a priority for Dallas because he is the Dallas offense, 135 catches for 1,749 yards. I mean, that is ridiculous in 12 touchdowns, and it's not a priority. A guy with 135 catches isn't a priority. Their window is closing. I know Jerry really desperately wants to bring Dallas back to prominence, but to me, this spells they're going to suck, and they're going to bring in Belichick next year. Whether they get these deals done
Jerry
or not.
Jerry loves the attention.
I'm sure Jerry's going to consult with Bill. Hey, Bill, should we give Dak this money? Because I don't think Bill would go anywhere without a viable quarterback. But the CeeDee Lamb should be a priority. I mean, let's face it. You can say what you want in the media, but obviously a dude with 135 catches is a major, major priority. It makes Dak so much better. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is the offense for the Cowboys. So I'm very shocked.
There's no depth behind him, to your point. I mean, there's zero depth behind him. And at this point, do you think he actually gets traded? There's no way CeeDee Lamb gets traded at all.
Especially to the Chiefs.
I know we said that about Brandon Ayuk, and I guess to this point, Brandon Ayuk still hasn't been traded, despite all the reports suggesting he's going to get traded. And here we are, it's the end of the week. This has been going on all week. Then in Dallas, especially, that's not an organization that typically caves to players whatsoever. That's just not how Jerry Jones usually operates. So I assume Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott will all be ready to go week one for the Dallas Cowboys. Then in the offseason, that's when it gets interesting and the decisions that they have to have. And you mentioned you think they'll blow it up, it sounds like, in that organization and bring in Belichick.
Well, I think they will. I think Mike McCarthy would be on the hottest of hot seats in the National Football League. Don't know if you agree with me or not. Nick Sirianni, I'm shocked that he made it last year after they fell in his attitude. And all these reports you're seeing now with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni having all that friction last year when it came to both those teams. So a little bit surprised in that. Mike McCarthy, who I'd put up there high on the list, will they still consult to it? Because I do think Bill Belichick ends up in Dallas. Mike McCarthy is Jerry Jones is probably tired of waiting because that window closes very, very fast. But CeeDee Lamb should be a priority. This should have already been done for the Dallas Cowboys. Do you know what the market is? You know what the market is for wide receivers? You know, they keep breaking the bank for what it is. You know what that is? You know what the quarterback is? There's no mystery which you're going to have to pay players, but I don't see a trade, them ever doing a trade. And I can't imagine the Chiefs want to spend a ton of money on a receiver. They had, quote, the NFL's number one player, Tyreek Hill, and they let him go to get draft picks and build this team. That's how they decided to do it, and that's what they did. And you get Hollywood Brown on a one-year prove-it deal. You spend a first-round pick on a receiver. I think they may even do that again next year with Hollywood Brown gone. But you're right. Brett Veach is doing his damage in the draft. And they have 5 years of control or 4 years like you have on Rice. That seems to be the modus operandi of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we will get to the Royals and Cardinals I-70 series, which gets going tonight at a Kauffman Stadium, and what is on the line. It could be another huge day for the Royals, just like a few days ago, where you had doubleheaders in your division. That's what's going to happen today with the Twins and the Guardians, and so we'll discuss the implications there, plus what Vinny Pasquantino had to say about potentially the crowds this weekend, both tonight and tomorrow as they're off on Sunday. But you're excited, I know, for the preseason game. There's leveled expectations with preseason football. I watched a little bit last night of the Patriots and Panthers game, and it was pitiful. It was terrible. I watched for a quarter. That's all I needed. Bryce Young didn't even play. But the Chiefs, at least here in Kansas City, there's more intrigue because at least you know the names of some of the guys a little bit further down the depth chart. What are you looking forward to the most with this? Because I think there's a few players in particular that just have a ton to gain, and I'm not talking about the last guy on the roster to try to just show he should make the spot. I'm talking about even some guys that we know are making the roster, but still, if you want to talk about confidence, you want to talk about increased playing time, could really get some goodwill out of a performance against the Jags. Like a Felix Anidike Uzama, for example. He's going to probably play a lot in this preseason game, or should. Why not? Should play a lot tomorrow. He's someone that I'll be watching just about more than the obvious. Like Xavier Worthy, yeah, we want to watch, see if he connects for a long touchdown pass with Mahomes or Carson Wentz. I get that. But I'm talking about guys that...
The second best quarterback in the division right now.
Carson Wentz, yeah. I know. I heard you say that. And you're probably right if Herbert's not healthy.
If he's not healthy, practicing right now.
Who's the player that actually can gain by having a good performance out of this game? I think Felix is high on the list.
Yeah, and I think Nico Remigio, when you think about guys that are kind of on that bubble, what are you going to do if you keep him? Justin Ross, again, we're talking about the end of the rope receivers. The Chiefs going to keep six. They're going to keep seven. Carson Steele, are you going to get to see him? Because Carson Steele, the fullback position, because the Chiefs have struggled on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. As we know, is Carson Steele going to be that guy? And as Andy Reid said the other day, you know, he's not just, you know, a traditional fullback. The guy's got the halfback mentality. He's not one of these fullbacks that had, like, you know, 130 yards rushing in college, and, you know, he's the fullback and the blocking back. Carson Steele is built differently. He had over 800 yards rushing for UCLA last year as a halfback. He led the MAC in rushing with over 1,500 yards 2 years ago when he was at Ball State. So he does have that halfback mentality. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Imani Bailey, the undrafted rookie at a TCU, did not have a good combine but had a great year at TCU. See what he is all about. So, yeah, that running game, Denarik Prince, you're probably going to get a steady diet of Denarik Prince as well. Travis Kelce, not expecting to see him much at all. If he's in the first series, maybe that's what he does, because, you know, I don't think they're going to keep him in a whole quarter. But to keep Jared Wiley, I think he plays a lot in this game. I want to see these rookies, and I'm usually looking forward to the first preseason. By the last preseason, I'm ready to get the season on, because that's literally the guys that are going to be cut. Most of this roster's been satisfied, but if you said, what's your number one? Kingsley. Seeing the left tackle, seeing what he does in live action. So Kingsley Suamatia would be number one. Xavier Worthy, I think, going to go downfield, because Xavier Worthy, you know, was healthy through camp. Didn't go through OTAs, but they saved him for camp. The guy has literally got a long pass from Mahomes each and every day. I still remember that Mahomes preseason game. Remember that when he first got here with Atlanta, when he threw that bomb, that 80-yard bomb down the field? Is it going to be Hollywood Brown or Xavier Worthy on the one series that I think the Chiefs offense get? Now, if they go four and out, I think they'll come out for two series. But if they go down in a Butker field goal, something like that, I think Mahomes only plays one series, to be honest with you. But I'd go Kingsley, Xavier, see what he can do, and Hollywood Brown, that addition. But really, to me, is Felix. I'm with you on Felix, because I want to see how much Tamba has helped him in the offseason. Tamba Lee's been working on, you know, pass rush moves with him and stuff like this. And Felix is a guy that's always gotten better. He got bigger and bigger when he was in high school. When he got to K-State, he was smaller. Then he got bigger and bigger and became the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. It takes him a while, but then he acclimates to it and is very successful. So see what Felix can do. But the running game, to me, see what Denarik Prince has. I don't care what Clyde does. I just want to know if there's another viable Carson Steele. I'm curious about that, and I want to see Jared Wiley at the tight end position play, too, because I don't think we're seeing Kelce. But it's the rookies I really want to see. Jaden Hicks, I want to see him thump somebody.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Any of the draft picks. Other than that, though, like the running backs, I have no interest in anybody in the backfield, really. Like, there's just not, I mean,
the Isaiah. Carson Steele interests me, though, because.
Fine. Isaiah Pacheco is the starting running back. Yeah, we know what Clyde is. We did the whole Denarik Prince thing last preseason. I'm good there.
But he's had a better
That's fine. But we're talking about the third running back. You know what I mean? Like, I so about. Far down
that's
the depth
chart. That's basically talk about this whole team, except for Kingsley.
I hear you. No, I hear you. But, like, third running back, you're in big trouble if it gets down to the third running back to begin with. Like, the third, fourth receiver, sure, that's Xavier Worthy. I get why there's intrigue there. Like Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, those guys, who's going to be Nazi Johnson? Who's going to be the number two corner for this team? Actually, like that to me is okay when you go further down the depth chart, because one of those guys is still battling for the number two cornerback job. You know, we know Chamari Connor, we played a little nickel last year as well. We'll see ultimately what he's going to be. But so far down the depth chart just doesn't do much for me. Like, I know people want to talk about Justin Ross again. If he makes a team, he's the seventh receiver. Like, I just, there's not much there. Can we talk about the guys that are either going to be number two on the depth chart or that are rookies?
That's about it. Won't play. I would guess he would play. Nico Remigio, I am curious to see what he can do in his production, because I think he makes a team.
If Kadarius doesn't play, though, I feel like he has to play in order to – at least a little bit in order to make it. I mean, if he doesn't play at all the whole preseason and Sky actually plays well, you know, I think that, I know it's down the depth chart, but it's a meaningless position, I guess, or a meaningless aspect of the position, but it's something that I guess we can keep an eye on regarding Sky or Kadarius if they play.
If Kadarius and Sky were cut, which one of those guys do you think ends up on an NFL roster first? And I asked this question last night.
Tony.
Honestly,
Tony.
I think it's Sky Moore because he plays. Because he's been here. He got that touchdown in the Super Bowl. He's been here with Mahomes. He actually plays. Kadarius Toney doesn't get on the field. I think that'd be the biggest concern when you're thinking with another team. I wouldn't put it past that he would end up on team before Kadarius Toney.
You got to be available, to your point. That's what you're saying, right?
Availability.
You know, best productivity or whatever is availability, whatever the saying is. When you look at their track record, I still think teams, the same reason why the Chiefs traded for Toney a couple years ago, people can't quit the athleticism, and like that's just something we can roll our eyes at it, but like, it's too tempting for everybody, right? That's, I think, part of the problem for why he has, frankly, continued to get opportunities as well. I will say about missing games last year, though, there was a certain point where he wasn't missing games because he was hurt. He wasn't missing games because he was hurt. Remember, they tried to protect him a little bit before the Instagram video thing.
Yeah, and I didn't. And then when he had those comments, you know, about not really being hurt and all that, that was kind of anti-organization there. So I'm shocked that. But yes, obviously he's potential. But when they were talking about, well, they did it. They moved in the running back, you know, a little bit for the jet sweeps and stuff like this. But the minute they announced that, Alex, I was concerned. I was like, he's going to take some hits at running back. It's different than being hit by a corner. You're getting hit by a linebacker now, and he can't stay healthy at receiver. What are you going to do at running back? Like, that really worried me. Like, his durability is going to really suffer playing any kind of running back position with the Chiefs. But I know they like him, but again, you got to be able to get on the field. And a couple, you know, two press conferences going, Andy Reid talking about it, and he was talking about the day that Kadarius got hurt and how they put the installs in and how it's important to practice. Then you have the ankle, and then it became the back. And, you know, to be honest with you, a Sky Moore, it's not great, but he's on the field, and that's the biggest difference.
But is there moments though? I mean, how many moments can you even remember where you're like, oh yeah, like what? You're right, he's available, but what's he done? Like, he's had the one return in the playoff game, right? Huge return in the playoff game.
He came in with great hands. He's not displayed.
There were games last year where he would have 30 to 40 snaps and had zero catches and zero targets. Like, he's just running around.
I'm with you, but he's on the field. I'm just saying, he doesn't matter. Like, Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, they don't matter. Nico Remigio, if he makes it, he'll be a returner from time to time and spot some wide receiver. These guys aren't going to matter, and they're barely going to play. So, again, we're talking about the end of the roster. Who are they going to keep? Because to me, it's between Justin Ross, Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney. Because 1 through 5, you've got Worthy. You got Hollywood Brown. Justin Watson, I think, is a guaranteed to be on this team. Mecole Hardman, I think, is guaranteed to be on this team as well. But then all of a sudden, it's Andy Reid. He's kept 6 receivers before. Last year, it was 7. That's the most he's ever kept. And if he's going to go 4 tight ends, he's going to keep Carson Steele, the fullback. What's the math? But who's going to end up at the end? And keep in mind, whoever ends up as a 6th and 7th wide receiver, there's a chance they're not even active on game day, because you only activate 48 players from your 53-man roster on game days. So I don't think it really matters. I'm just saying I will take the guy that plays.
No, fair enough. I also think, though, we can't say they're going to keep 7 receivers and then be like, well, they're also keeping 4 tight ends and they're keeping this Carson Steele kid. Like, something's got to give here. That's not all
possible. You can't do it all.
That's not all possible. So if they're actually keeping a fullback, and I don't want to get too bogged down into it either, because fullback, okay, how many snaps is that guy getting? You know what I mean? So this goes back to my whole thing last summer with Justin Ross as well. Like, flashes in the red zone, it's exciting, but even if he makes the team, how many opportunities is he getting? Even if Carson Steele makes the team, how many opportunities is he getting? Like, that's where I, like, sometimes those conversations
special
drive me crazy.
Special teams will all be on those. But
that's fine.
I'm 1/4 to 1. Is he going to be in packages? Because here's the thing with Carson Steele. This isn't, you know, Burton running the football. This guy can actually run the ball. I mean, the guy is a halfback.
You know what I'm saying? Is he getting 10 carries all year?
Well, what I'm saying is, on 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, I just want someone that can pick up the 1 yard. I mean, that's the important thing. Keep these drives going and not be punting the football. Matt Rising, you don't want to see him, you know, come out there and punt the ball right away. Pick up. How many drives stalled when the Chiefs had a 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1? If Carson Steele can get the job done, and again,
this was your guy coming out of the draft, too. That's what this is, I think.
This was
your guy. I know, but this was your guy going into the draft
last year from Dallas. But no, I like him. He led the Mac in rushing. Of course, I have a soft spot for the Mac.
Text line, special teams matter. Sure, yes, but for the casual fan, they don't really know who the hell 52-8 man is on the roster, and nobody wants to hear that. That's all I'm saying.
I think the corners, Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson eventually. Jalen Watson's been eased back in. He had that yellow jersey on, the non-contact, and now it's off. Now he's playing. I think eventually, maybe by the time you get to the first game, because you get all this month of August to go, that he's in there. I think by at least game 1 or 2, it's going to be Jalen Watson. But I think Joshua Williams will be the starter, and I always felt that way going into it.
He wants that spot, too. I mean,
it's going to be Joshua and Trey McDuffie, and I think Shamari's going to be playing in the slot. But Trey McDuffie, I mean, he wants to be inside as well, because that's where he cut his teeth last year, was playing on the inside. And I know they want him on the outside some, but Trey McDuffie's probably going to be playing a ton inside.
Yeah, they might move him all the way around.
And Shamari Connor is so damn versatile. I always thought that he was kind of, during the draft night, he was your Le'Jarius Sneed replacement. because he can blitz. He could do a lot of things. He can go straight back to safety. He could play nickel. He can do a lot. He's probably their most versatile defensive back. Nazi Johnson's that way a little bit too, because he played safety and plays corner. He's almost exclusive corner with the Chiefs now. But they're loaded back there. And again, I think we're going to see a lot of Jaden Hicks. And I think people are going to see what he's known for, which is hitting the hell out of people.
Who's the player, though, like leaving Saturday night in Jacksonville, that all of a sudden the expectations go way up? And
he's maybe, making the team.
Yeah, like who's that? Or making the team, or just like if Xavier Worthy and Mahomes or Carson Wentz connect on a 60-plus yard pass, before this game, I tell you over under 750.5 yards, you might say under. He's the player that all of a sudden we go and see that, and now everybody's talking about him nationally and stuff being a 900-yard guy. Like some of the overreaction after one game, who's more likely to have that?
Overreaction. Could it be like a Justin Ross or something? Because I do. I think that he gets a lot of playing time in the second half.
Well, Nico's going to play a lot, too.
And so, Nico. Yeah. Remember last year was all these backup wide receivers the Chiefs had that got that attention?
Smith-Marset.
Yeah. Overreaction is going to be when...
I think it's going to be Justin Ross, and I think it's going to be Nico.
It's going to be when Luis Riz-Ahmed busts out
I forgot about that. He's
going to bust out a 45-yard run in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left.
No, he's not.
And when he's playing against like fourth stringers, he's got 4.2, 4.3 speed. If he's that quick, he has one hole. It's not that he made the hole. The hole's there. He's fast. He's going to run through it. He's going to go 45 yards. Everybody's going to freak out, and they're going to love it.
He's getting spanked in camp, man.
You can tell he hasn't played football before. He struggles in pass protection.
Now, again, four stringers, maybe so. You know, see what Jacksonville has.
That's what I'm saying. If he gets the ball, as long as he's not pass protecting or whatever, get the ball in the
sand. As he's not bad. Poor Carson Wentz and Olatika.
No, I'm just telling you.
Ian Book.
That'll be the overreaction.
That's going to be weird seeing Ian Book play for the Chiefs. You will see some Ian Book.
Well, Mahomes is going to play one drive probably. So
unless it's four and out, then I can see him coming out for the second series. If it's four and out, because
you don't think they're punting? You said four and out. You think they're going for fourth down?
Why not? Well, it's free season.
Anytime a special teams coach has a chance to punt the ball, they're going to punt the ball because they want the Gunners to have an opportunity.
Maybe Matt Rice will be the guy everybody's talking about with those punts.
Man, if we're here,
if he bombs 75 yards.
I can promise you this, Bink. I know you're not doing the show with me on Monday. Cody's back. On Monday, there's no way the lead of the show is centered around Matt Ariza and the punting game.
Someone said LRZ does not have 4.2, 4.3. He said he ran a 4.3.
He did.
He ran a 4.3.
He did, but he's also got all that run before he put pads on.
And Xavier Worthy ran a 4.2.
How much has Buffalo helped the Chiefs? Because Matt Ariza was with the Bills and they let him go. The Mahomes thing. I mean, the Bills and Xavier Worthy. I mean, the Bills have really built this team.
All right, we're just getting started here on a Friday. Up next, let's talk about the Royals, though. I-70 series starts tonight, and there's a couple games going on in the division earlier in the day that once again we could be sitting here with a golden opportunity. We'll do that, plus who called it over early yesterday for Team USA.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Just getting started here on Cody and Gold. Jay Binkley in studio with me. Video stream up and running now on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube. Bink is showing off the 96.5 The Fan hat. You got two hats today. Two hat day
two
for,
hats,
for Jay Binkley.
Because it was in my bag.
I mentioned we have Club 610 coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Rob Collins from Fox 4 going to join us. It's still Club 610 as of today. Drew came in studio during the break, though, because he ran downstairs, and a listener of ours, our Aussie friend, some goods, man. We got some more beer for Club 610.
That's right.
And you were really pumped. There's one particular
that I just freaking... Yeah, I love Oktoberfest beer. And most times now, Alex, you can go to liquor stores, get 10 or 12 different varieties. I went down to Bubbles the other day. I was like, what am I going to get? I was like, my head was exploding. Because Oktoberfest typically will come out in July. And a lot of times beer companies
will come out earlier.
I know, but they would hold on until... But it's ready to go. It's like ready to be served because they finished the stuff usually at the end of May or June. They've just been... We're sitting on it, but you might as well put it out there and let us all enjoy it, because I'll switch to winter beer. You know, as soon as Halloween's done, it's like, boom, let's get some winter beer on so I can sit down and watch Alex Gold in a Christmas movie and with a nice winter lager, you know?
Drew came running in the studio... And he just, like thinking of Christmas, like it was Christmas morning, he goes, "Hey, guys!" And he just holds up 2 six-packs.
You didn't have to run to the liquor store now.
Yes, we have plenty. We have plenty of beer for Club 610.
And I'm glad Rob Collins is coming in. Rob should be on the last Club 610. Rob's a good dude. And I'll never forget, you know, the time he was giving us when he was down there in Miami when covering the first Super Bowl there for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Like, Rob was down there the whole time, and he would chime in. And good dude, man. Good dude. I'm glad he's coming in.
Yeah, it'll be fun in the 1 o'clock hour today. It's going to be fun out at Kauffman Stadium starting tonight and tomorrow. I-70 series. The Royals are in another spot for the second time heading into a game because of the off day yesterday, where they're going to go into a first pitch with potential to have a huge swing again in the divisional race, in the wild card race, potentially, because right now the Guardians and Twins are playing each other. There's a doubleheader, 2:10 this afternoon, Guardians-Twins. They're going to play again. You have the Red Sox, who are taking on the Astros, so that's should be a competitive series and a tough one for Boston. The Royals are once again heading into a game tonight, though, Bink, where it's a golden opportunity. Yes, they don't have their three best pitchers going. They just had them in the Boston series, and they avoid the sweep. We talked about that yesterday. But we could be waking up on Sunday morning, I'll say, because they play two games and then are off. Sunday morning, and this Royals team could suddenly, I'll have to admit, could suddenly be within 2.5 games of the division lead, just like that.
It is wild what's going on, because you think, all right, you lose 2-3 to Boston, the sky's falling, and it's not. I'm looking at this, the standings, in saying, if not the Royals, then who? Because to me, it's a three-team race. If whoever doesn't win the division, like if the Royals win the division, that's fine. But again, if they don't, and all of a sudden it's Minnesota, which I'd rather see Minnesota than Cleveland, because I don't think they're as good. Minnesota, Kansas City, and I'm going to say Boston. I think it's a three-team race, to be honest with you. Seattle, I know they bring in a Rosarena, who's not having a great year, but they brought him in the trade down. They bring in Justin Turner. He's only got 7 home runs, so they did improve their offense. They've got great arms, but I think Houston wins that division, and I think Seattle's the team out. But who's going to catch them? The Rays aren't going to catch them. To me, it's about Boston and watching what Boston's doing. If the Royals don't win the division, it is Boston to watch, and winning that last game against Boston, that was the perfect day that the Royals had. I mean, that was just the dream made day for the Kansas City Royals.
It was. It definitely was, considering, again, it's the same circumstance that they're in tonight. Yes, it's against a National League team of the Cardinals, but because you could have the Guardians lose two games today. The Guardians have lost five in a row. And so right
it's gonna
now,
it's going to happen at some point.
The Guardians are 67-47. Yeah, they're leading the AL Central. The Royals are a half game back of the Twins for the second wild card spot, right? And the Guardians and Twins, the fact that they play each other, who are you wanting to lose? You still want the Guardians to lose that series against Minnesota and get them back to the pack a little bit and worry about the Twins. We all don't think the Twins are as good as the Guardians anyway.
Nope.
So if the Twins could get after the Guardians a little bit, the Royals have to handle their business against the Cardinals team, who you can get. You should be able to get. I know they're battling themselves for a wild card spot. They're 2.5 out, so they're hungry, but they're
also 9-14 since the break, but just 2.5 out, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to catch a couple teams. The Braves have lost five in a row, so the Cardinals are kind of smelling blood a little bit in the wild card race on the National League side. But I think you definitely want the Twins to beat up on the Guardians if possible today, and I'll have to eat some crow on Monday if, in fact, this weekend goes perfectly. Because I said, unless the Royals, before they play the Guardians again at the end of this month, unless this division is four games back, then I don't want to talk about the division. Well, on Monday, if the Royals handle the Cardinals and the Twins do what we think they might be able to do against the Guardians, the Royals would be within three games.
And you got six games left with the Twins, seven games left with the Guardians. So, really, to be honest with you, it's all decided within that. It just is. Yeah, the Royals have a tough schedule. I mean, they still got, you know, Philadelphia coming up and stuff like that. But it's at home. And the Royals are a good home team. I was reminding people, too, Boston, by the way, and as far as fearing Boston or not, Boston's one game under 500 at home. But they're like 11 games over on the road. They're much better road team.
Yeah, that was one thing that was noted heading into this past week against the Boston Red Sox out at Kauffman Stadium. But Vinny, we played the audio yesterday. I'll play it again. Vinny Pasquantino was talking after that big win. And here's what he had to say about what he expects the crowd to be like this weekend.
Yeah, it's great. More importantly, we've got the Crosstown Rivals coming up on Friday, Saturday. So I'm expecting this place to be full when we look around. So we're excited for that. This place has been packed, and we're pumped for more.
What do you think it's going to be like tonight and tomorrow? One, we've all been outside today. It is absolutely gorgeous. We're not dealing with the 95-degree miserable weather. It is perfect to go out there
like
tonight.
It's 54 this morning, dude.
Yeah, perfect to go out there tomorrow. And, of course, the game's right here on 610 Sports Radio. And Vern's On Deck show gets going, at 6 o'clock tonight, I guess that would be? Or, yeah, 6 o'clock tonight. A little after 7 o'clock, first pitch. As the Royals take on the Cardinals, we know there's going to be Cardinals fans. Like, you're not removing every single Cardinals fan. But I would hope this year, considering what the Royals have done, where they're positioned in the middle of a pennant race, that this is not the way it's been for the last, frankly, 5+ years, where Cardinals fans once again kind of took over the ballpark. We know there's going to be fans there, but what's the breakdown? What's the percentage? You might have them audible. The simple way so you don't hear Cardinals fans is the Royals just play well and you don't have much to cheer for St. Louis. But there's not a worse feeling than being a Royals fan sitting at Kauffman Stadium and the Cardinals get up early, score a few runs, and you're sitting slashed in your seat and Cardinals fans and the Redbirds standing up making noise in your ballpark. There's nothing worse.
You know what the worst thing, too, is, honestly? It's when the Cubs are here. A ton of Royals fans made it to St. Louis. They were audible. You could hear the Royals fans here. So I'm expecting maybe a 70-30 split Royals fans, Cardinals. The most frustrating thing to me is when you're listening to the game on the radio. You know, like you were out there mowing or whatever, and you got the game on the radio, and you hear everybody clapping, and you're like, oh, the Royals just do something? It was the Cardinals doing something or the Cubs, because all those fans that are there, and it's a little bit tough to say who did something well because you hear those Cardinals fans and Royals fans. But it is frustrating. Yes, the Cardinals do have something to play for. The Royals do, too. I just like the way this team's hitting right now. I mean, they have those guys, you know, three guys over 70 at ribs, and the way that Vinny's hitting, that's freaking instrumental what he's doing, because you think of some of the top hitters. Actually, MLB did their hitter power rankings. They had Soto at 4, Judge at 1. So two guys in the top 4, right? And then there was just Bobby Witt, then Ohtani. Well, yes, they have that Soto to go with Judge. Like, who's going to be that guy? Perez is that guy, I think, with Bobby Witt. But when you add in, Ned Yost said, hey, again, give me three guys consistently hitting the lineup.
I mean, I would argue right now, Vinny's been the guy with Bobby Witt Jr.
He's got six home runs in the last eight games.
I would say that's the 1-2 at this present second. You know, Salvi's obviously had plenty of moments. He's had a great year. But over the last week or two, it's been more Vinny and Bobby in the lineup than anybody else.
Yeah. But the way Vinny, I mean, Vinny is playing like, dude's on fire. Dude's on fire. I love to see it. And Bobby Witt, get him on base. And that's the perfect guy to have on base. He's going to get runs. Vinny's going to knock him in. And if he doesn't do it, Sal Perez is going to do it. But got to love the way that Vinny is kind of turning it on. And, you know, Renfro's been playing better. Melendez has been spotty and been very good when he's had those opportunities. For some reason, he plays the Red Sox really well.
MJ Melendez has been really good.
MJ Melendez has been doing that as well. But having Vinny hit, I think, has been absolutely huge for this team.
I want to see what start number two for Michael Lorenzen looks like in a Royals uniform, because the first return against the Tigers team, and I think some people are cautious because of against the Tigers, but he gives you 5 2/3, gave up just the one earned run. We know he replaced Alec Marsh in the rotation. They still have plans for Alec Marsh. He could still be back up with his team this year and certainly have long-term plans
and the bullpen for
Alec Marsh. But I want to see what Michael Lorenzen does again. If he has another good outing, this time against a better team in the St. Louis Cardinals, then they once again might have actually pulled something off here in the trade market and continue to stay hot with some of the moves. I know people are down right now on Hunter Harvey, the Hunter Harvey acquisition. We'll see how that continues to play out. But Urseg looks really good.
Yeah.
And
you got him until 2030.
We know what they did a year ago in the Cole Reagans trade from a pitching perspective. If they're able to get this, Michael Lorenzen's a rental, right? It's not a long-term answer. But for this playoff push and in the postseason, if all of a sudden Michael Lorenzen is a slight upgrade over what they were getting from Marsh, because Marsh in April and May, yes, was really good. But June and July, it's a big reason why they went and acquired Michael Lorenzen, right? He had been struggling a little bit. So I'll be interested to see what they get from Lorenzen tonight. And it could also give you some more confidence heading in down the stretch where you worry about innings for other guys.
When those shorter series, too, you're throwing Lugo out there. You're throwing Reagans. What if you put, once you get to the postseason, you put Lorenzen in the bullpen? Like, which could, you know, on a quick series, and you go because you're going Reagans. And, you know, it's because Walk has pitched extremely well as of late.
And he goes tomorrow night.
But you get to the postseason, all of a sudden, okay, let's put Lorenzen in the bullpen, you know, and see what he can do there. Because he can do the bullpen. He doesn't mind. He's done both. So he's kind of versatile in that way.
We'll talk some more Royals baseball a little bit later on in the show. And here in about 15 minutes, we'll get to a young rookie quarterback's comments about quarterbacks in the NFL. Bink was all fired up and upset this morning. I don't think it's as big of a deal as Bink, but we'll get to that in 15 minutes or so. I know Drew was fired up yesterday. You were texting me as I was driving home about Team USA taking on Serbia. And I caught just the fourth quarter, so I only saw the good stuff. I knew they were down double digits. And the U.S. was at that time headed towards potentially having to play for a bronze medal, which would have been a massive disappointment considering the talent and roster that Steve Kerr and Team USA Basketball assembled. But then in the fourth quarter, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, but Steph Curry, LeBron, it was awesome. Flat out awesome. I told you I don't watch the showcase games. They do like the tune-up games before the Olympics. You were into that as well. And I said, wait till we get to some games that mean something. And yesterday, you could tell that meant something to Team USA against a really good Serbian team. Obviously, Jokic is on that squad, the best player in the NBA, and they couldn't miss. Like they played nearly perfect the first three quarters, and then the fourth quarter, you saw some of the best players in the world for the U.S. Take over that game, and it was sensational. Now the U.S. will play for a gold medal tomorrow against France, and it's going to be awesome that the host country of the Olympics is who you're going to face, and everything like that. You had faith still, unlike our colleague Carrington Harrison on Twitter yesterday, who just said it was over. He said America just wasn't capable. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I would never stoop to the level of CDOT. And
he said
and
Team USA is going home. Freezing cold takes called him out as well.
As they should have. I will say this. There are people that said things, and then there are people that had drafts made up. I was one of the people that
you had drafts ready to go. You were about to trash
the
team.
No, I did not have a draft made up, but I thought of where I would go with it. I guess this is obviously great. And in the moment, this is really cool. Three of the best players in the history of basketball stepped up when they needed to most for the country, and they ended up winning the game. On the flip side of this, regardless of what happens, looking ahead, the fact that we needed 335-plus-year-olds to figure this out and get it done, we might be cooked.
Oh,
we might be cooked as a country because the rest of the world
There's always next man up, man.
No.
Guess what? Next go-around, Jason Tatum will just play a lot more, you know?
But
he just hasn't been playing really that much.
There are, to me, there are certain players that have that dog in them, if you will. Kobe had it. LeBron has it. KD has it. I don't know if Jason Tatum has it. I think Anthony Edwards is the guy in 2028. Like, he'll be the guy in 2028.
The U.S. will be favorites in 2028
as well. Of course they will be, because, again, they'll be the most talented. But when you talk about Olympic-style basketball, it's a little bit different, team-oriented. I don't know. Like, Embiid was great. Embiid also had moments where you're like, what the hell are you doing?
But that's typical Embiid stuff, bro. That's typical Embiid stuff.
I think the final is going to be a lot of fun because it's Wemby. Embiid's getting booed by everybody because he technically could have played for the French national team, but he decided not to. The idea that it is in France as well, in Paris, I think the environment's going to be buzzing. Oh, and I mean, we're, what did you say we were? 16 and a half point favorites? Yeah, is that what we are?
The U.S. is 16 and a half point favorites against France. And
more than against Serbia.
That actually is more. I think that's part, from a public standpoint, that is probably, hey, look, Serbia, that if they were gonna, that was the game the U.S. was going to lose, right? They're down double digits. Now it's like they came all the way back. They're not losing this thing. And I'm kind of right there with where the spread is. I don't know about if I'll lay 16 and a half. But after coming back the way they did yesterday to Serbia, they're not losing to France tomorrow. No chance. No, they're not losing to France. The U.S. is getting the gold.
They struggled against Germany. I get it. But, you know, this is the second time U.S. beat Serbia in the Olympics. It was their first game they played Serbia. They played them twice. And people say, well, is the same dream team as before. Well, the difference is there's so many more NBA players playing on these other teams. I mean, so many more NBA players.
The game's more international than ever, yeah.
It doesn't. If they win, it doesn't matter. Obviously, you know, they skated by and they beat an inferior team, even though they have Jokic, even though they have Bogdanovic. They should beat France, even though they have Wemby, even though they have Fournier, even though they have Rudy Gobert, who hasn't played very well. But if they lose, it's a horrendous loss regardless, because the U.S. is always like the pinnacle of basketball. I mean, they say world champions after the NBA win. Like, if they don't, it doesn't look good. And there's a lot of controversy. I'm a little bit worried post LeBron, post Steph, post KD.
Dude, that's 4 years from now. Worry about 20. That's 4 years from now.
The only reason I'm a little bit worried is because, look, they needed 35 and 30, and as great as they are, they needed dudes who are at the tail end of their prime to win the game for them. When
you said
look at the roster, you're like, yeah, this guy isn't stepping up for us because Embiid does this. Jason Tatum evidently is not even good enough to play on the team. Tyrese Haliburton is really good, but he's not good enough to play and get minutes on the team. In terms of the world basketball stuff, I'm a little bit worried.
Worry about that in 4 years and in LA.
LeBron's going to come back at age 50 just to play.
When there's more stars in the league and when guys have developed even more, not to mention you're throwing out like these 38-year-old guys like they're just random guys at the rec. LeBron James is either the best of all time or the second best of all time, depending on who you want to talk to. And you got Steph, who is an all-time three-point shooter in the history of the game.
With a gray beard, looking like a grandpa. I mean, it's crazy.
It's not just random 38-year-olds. They're the three of the greatest players to play the game.
But
so,
if you were to say right now that you didn't have those three playing, would we still win gold? No.
But in 4 years, you're talking about 4 years. That's not the reality of right now. In 4 years, Jason Tatum could be even better and more of a leader.
How much better is he getting?
Anthony Edwards could be more of a leader at that point in time. Who knows who else is around? Cooper Flagg will be on the team.
Cooper's a dog.
In 2028. So, no, you don't worry about 2028.
I might be able to book it down right now. In 2028, the best two players for America will be Anthony Edwards and Cooper Flagg.
Probably.
Jason Tatum is not going to be top two on the team. Devin Booker. How much better is Jason Tatum getting? How much better is Devin Booker getting? Devin Booker had one really, really, really good game. But if you ask, hey, we need you to come through in the clutch.
Hold on, though, about Jason Tatum. Like, let's, you know.
He's really good, but him not getting, I mean, he was asked about it. He's like, well, it's a little disappointing to not get minutes after winning an NBA championship and being.
Yeah, it's not because Steve Kerr didn't think he's good. It's because Steve Kerr, that was the rotation
he
won. And Steve Kerr also had LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid and Steph Curry on his squad. I mean, Jason Tatum's average what? What did he average this year?
In the NBA. Like, FIBA basketball is different.
I understand. But like, to act like Jason Tatum just not good enough is, come on now. And I can't stand Boston sports, but Jason Tatum was.
I get that he didn't play this year. We're conflicting this year from what your worries are in 2028.
He didn't play this year because of how good the three players we just mentioned are.
Yeah, but if we need him to go through and score 37 like Steph in a. No, it's not happening.
As far as calling games when they're over. How often do you get frustrated during NFL season? Remember 36-7, the Vikings down to the Colts? Everybody was trashing the Vikings. They came back and won the game. I sit here and look at the text line during Chiefs games because the post game. And it's amazing how many people just give up. It's like, you've seen the Chiefs before. You know what they're going to do at the end of the game. You've seen the movie.
If you need one player to take a game over to win it for you, Jason Tatum is not that guy.
That's just basketball, though. Like, I mean, that was the situation they were in yesterday. There's a chance against France. They need that again. There's a chance against France tomorrow that they don't need that at all. Like, you're acting like every game they're going to need someone to go for 38 in 2020. Again, this is a four-year away thing. Like, yes, the Chiefs in 15 years, man, I don't know what they're going to do. They may not have the guy that can just take over a game when they're down in the fourth quarter in the Super Bowl. That's 15 years from now.
And as a result, they might not be good enough to win a Super Bowl.
They might not, but that could be 15 years from now,
Drew. But that's the Chiefs, that's the Chiefs, though. This is not Team USA where we
I'm being a bit of a smart ass, but I'm like, well, don't worry about, just enjoy the moment, man.
There's always the next guy up there, Drew.
It's cool.
Everybody always worries about even teams. What are they going to do in the future? Then they find a way to replace the talent and they keep being good. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the future of Team USA
basketball.
Depends on
who's coaching them, I think.
Now you're worried about the coaching.
Oh, Steve Kerr had to say, you know what? I'm just going to put Steph, KD, and LeBron in, and it actually worked out. Him trying to coach was the problem. Was part of the problem.
It's probably going to be Bronny.
I'm about to win a gold medal tomorrow. I don't think
LeBron,
there's a problem.
Bronny, and Bryce are going to say,
is Bronny going to be on the team?
About to win a gold medal tomorrow. There is no problem.
If he's on the team, then that's a problem.
If they would have lost yesterday, we would have had a discussion about, don't worry, plenty of people would have had plenty of pieces about LeBron James' failure and Steve Kerr's failure. But that didn't happen. So we don't need to act like something happened that didn't happen yesterday. They came back in epic fashion. It's a game that we're going to remember for a very long time.
It just gave me the thing. If 2028, LeBron's not playing in the Olympics in 4 years. Not going to happen.
I know.
That if the fact that we needed them, and I get that they are as good as they are to do it, I don't think you can trust Devin Booker to go win you a game or Jason Tatum to go win you a game when you're down 17. That game might be over. That game just might be over with the other guys on the roster, other than maybe Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, and Jokic will be 33. Will he be the best player in the league or the world at that time? I don't know.
Probably not. No.
So things change. Wimby could be the best player on earth at that point in time. Wimby, it'll be on France. There'll be a problem. Just worry about that in 2028.
With all these guys up next from France, maybe.
Up next, someone that you might have to worry about in the NFL this year and for the next decade plus is in Chicago, but Bink is very upset with some of his comments. And we did have some preseason football last night, and we wasted our time with kickoffs again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.